click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
If you know anything about the world of news, a story never really dies. It evolves. And that's essentially what we're witnessing right now when it comes to the Rand manipulation case. You might be well aware that this particular battle dates back to 2015, where the Competition Commission had charged a number of banks with up to 10% of their local revenues, citing a wide-ranging level of effects regarding their conduct and the impact on our local economy. Essentially, because bankers and certain traders within these institutions were manipulating the rand. Not in as much as how it goes up and down in the numbers that we quote here on Kaya Biz, but rather how they structure their deals as well as levels of transacting between themselves as banking institutions. This particular story now has developed to such an extent that the banks and the Competition Commission are fighting it out in court over this particular case. We're going to unpack both sides now with our colleague in the media industry who works for an organization being the Business Day, a platform that has actually followed through with this particular story and has accessed the court documents and can give us both perspectives of these stories until such a point that we can speak to the respective organizations. Kabelo Khumalo joins us now on air. Kabelo, such a pleasure to have you and welcome to Kaya Biz.
Thank you for having me and good evening to your viewers and listeners at home.
Thank you. Kabelo, busy day for you as a journalist, right? Helping all of us understand the story, but also making sure that you bring this out in the public and, of course, providing both perspectives in terms of a balanced and objective view and right of reply of various organizations. But maybe for perspective and those who aren't familiar, take us back to 2015 just to get a better understanding of the context within which we're discussing regarding the Rand manipulation story.
I think it is a story, one of the biggest corporate stories really of the past decade, like you alluded to in your introduction. The Competition Commission caught everybody by surprise around 2015 when they announced this massive investigation that they had launched against 28 banks, including some of the domestic majors, like the likes of First Rand, Standard Bank, Nedbank, and Absa. And it has been really a tit-for-tat since then, because the main allegation by the Commission against the lenders really is that they collaborated with their offshore counterparts to manipulate the rand and dollar exchange for their own personal entities benefit, really, not personal. Sorry about that. But yeah, that is the essence of the case. It has been going on for the past decade, really, nonstop. The last installment of the matter really was the Competition's Appeals Court, which ruled in favor of some banks that the Competition Commission does not have a solid case against them. So this is where we are now, where the Competition Commission is appealing to the country's highest court, which is the Constitutional Court, to set aside the Competition Appeals judgment to say they are within their rights to pursue these banks. So yeah, that's where we are and what we reported on today, the court papers that are now before the Concord, with the matter set to be heard over 4 days next week.
Very true. Thank you for that clarity. But one would be asking themselves, hold on. Over the years, we've received updates where the banks were fined. The banks themselves had also highlighted that they had let go of some of these traders in their individual capacity who no longer work for their institutions. Why are we back in court this time around? Why are they fighting?
The issue is that not all banks are on the same page. There are those who have admitted to have colluded in this unfortunate practice. I think the likes of Standard Chartered, they admitted guilt and as part of their leniency program, the Competition Commission then said they must testify against other banks. But other banks have stuck to their guns consistently. I mean, in the main, Standard Bank has always said there's no case against it. So they've kept to their guns. So not all banks have admitted to, maybe that's what will confuse people who have not been following the story for the past few years, is that some of the banks admitted that indeed we conducted ourselves in this unlawful manner, while other banks have said, no, we are being dragged into a matter that is not our business. In essence, the likes of Standard Bank and First Rand are saying the Competition Commission really is crying at the wrong funeral, really.
I understand that even some banks have raised concerns around brand reputation or reputational damage that has occurred on the back of this.
Yes, that is Standard Bank and First Rand to say the damage has been, they can't even calculate it, but they say their brand in terms of reputation has taken a beating. While there's no case against them, they've been adamant and they got support from the Competition's Appeal Court. They hope that now the Constitutional Court will affirm that position, which will be the end of the matter, at least on their part. So it's a high-stakes legal challenge, really, that is bound to test the country's laws, competition laws, to their very last limit, really.
And you raise a very valid point there, because not all, whilst the Competition Commission has actually said they identified levels of rand manipulation, they imposed a certain fine, not all banks have taken accountability or admitted any guilt or even paid this fine. Mm-hmm. Does this then put in question the Competition Commission and its tribunal under scrutiny, just in terms of the level of assessment and examination that they participated in to identify which institutions and individuals were at fault here regarding rand manipulation?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a high-stakes game, particularly for the Competition Commission, because what, in essence, First Rand and Standard Bank in the main are arguing is that this amounts to malicious prosecution by the Competition Commission, to say they literally don't know which case to answer. There's no case presented before them. And if that view is affirmed by the Concord, then the Competition Commission will have serious questions to answer, to say why pursue these banks when you have non-prosecutable case before you. Yeah. So I think the reputation of the Competition Commission is in the dock as well here. We'll see how the Concord rules, but indeed, I agree with your premise that the motives, or at least the conduct of the Competition Commission, which is not that very much liked in the business sector anyway, for obvious reasons. Nobody likes their watchdog, but there seems to be an overreach, at least alleged by the banks. And if that is confirmed by the Constitutional Court, I foresee some problems for people who led the charge against this bank that have been, at least on their part and to their credit, consistent, that show us the evidence so that we can answer the case. And they've claimed that for the past 10 years, they've spent quite a sizable amount of money on senior counsel and the likes,
yeah,
when they were not supposed to be in the dock in the first place. So one will think that this is going to really test the credibility of the Competition Commission, because if the Concord finds that indeed this, some of these banks, as they claim, had no case to answer, the question then becomes, why pursue them over so many years, you know? So it's a catch-22 as well for the Competition Commission.
Goodness, there's a lot to follow through on here. For us as ordinary South Africans, what's the key takeaway that we should bear in mind as we follow the developments of the story and continue to read your articles on publications like The Business Day?
I think the people who follow the story, they must not fall for some of the political spin rail around the story that this crashed their hand and the likes, like you said.
Yes.
It is behind-the-scenes things. It's people getting advantage on their own transactions. There was not that overarching conspiracy to collapse South Africa's economy. It is just a corporate thuggery, if proven to be true, really.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to really, I think people must follow the story, because one of the most important elements of the story is the foreign banks, which have come out clearly and hard-hitting that the South African authorities don't have jurisdictions over them. That is going to be a very serious legal test on what the Constitution demands of South Africa's authorities when they want to pursue offshore companies which they suspect have done wrongdoing in South Africa.
Mm.
So it's going to be a precedent-setting case to even give clarity on that aspect of the law. What happens to our international companies suspected of engaging in thuggery in South Africa? Do you allow their own authorities to pursue them, or as South African authorities, can you pursue them? So it is really an interesting case to follow. At least it's now, at least coming, at least to an end after 10 years. Many people I suspect have moved on from this too.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
And even the organizations that might have admitted any guilt. Kabelo, this is such a pleasure speaking to you as always. Good luck reading through all the court documents. You've really helped simplify it for all of us as ordinary South Africans, and it's one we'll continue to follow. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you for having us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kabelo Khumalo, Companies and Markets Editor at The Business Day, giving us an update on a big showdown that's taking place between the banks and the Competition Commission regarding the rand manipulation case. Sounds technical, but bear in mind this is quite a precedent-setting case that will unfold in the days and months really to come. Kaya.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.